Friday, March 25th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to come back to a subject that we have talked about several times and we will continue to talk about probably once a week, maybe twice a week. That's the war in Ukraine. Things are beginning to develop where we see hypersonic missiles being used. We have talks of using nuclear weapons, and we have insinuations that we might be on the brink of World War III, as noted by President Zelensky.
There's a couple of reasons why we need to revisit this. Number one is the adamancy that is clearly being declared by the leader of Russia, Vladimir Putin, and the fact that strategically he has doubled down, and now the war tactics are revealing that, as you have mentioned, hypersonic weapons, and then there is a clear threat of nuclear arms being used. Thirdly, this is devastating and deeply horrific, is we now have clear evidence that the mounting casualties are inflated by civilian numbers. In other words, civilians are being targeted. And this is not warfare in a city with collateral damage of civilians. This was targeting. We made the point of the maternity center. But Tom, beyond that, we've got a theater that was bombed. We've got a refugee center that was bombed. Those are clear targeted centers of civilian population. And you do that when you want to bring something to an end through simple outright terror. And then one more factor that is horrific, and that is the threat of biological warfare. Tom, this is clearly is not in the category of a biblical doctrine that has affected what we call the Geneva Conventions, which is the just war doctrine. The just war doctrine from Christianity has five, or in some cases, one publication has seven principles that need to be in place. None of those are in place in this war. This is clearly a war of aggression. This is clearly a war of invasion. This is clearly a strategic invasion to capture and dominate a nation for a very specific reason. A nation that's being invaded simply because of its existence and the desire to bring it within the orbit and control of another nation. And that nation, with a nod to Stalin, is identified by Putin as Greater Russia. And I think what you see is his tactics reflect a previous leader in Russia who rightly was called Ivan the Terrible. What should we do and how should we respond? First of all, I'm grateful for the sanctions that have been put in place. I'm grateful for the humanitarian aid and the measured military aid. But I believe we have a responsibility not to put boots on the ground. But I do believe out of previous commitments that we have made as a nation, when we were trying to eradicate nuclear arms within the boundaries of the nation of Ukraine, President Clinton and later President Bush affirmed commitments that you give up those weapons, we will, quote, have your back. In other words, what they feared, and they were giving up the deterrence of nuclear weaponry. I think we not only need to release continued humanitarian aid, not only to Ukraine, but also to the surrounding nations that are absorbing the refugees. I believe our nation needs to keep facilitating the public and private means of humanitarian aid. We need to unleash the military aid that would enable the Ukrainian army and all of the volunteers out of the civilian population to continue to defend the nation against this aggression. I believe we actually owe that to them to fulfill our word. And Tom, there's some evidence that the sanctions actually are being undermined in various ways, even though we are claiming to be putting draconian sanctions upon Russia.
Harry, Robert Spencer, who is a fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, writes extensively on this, and he points to the fact that the Biden administration is allowing Russia to get involved in Iran with rebuilding the Bushehr nuclear reactor. This will bring billions of dollars into Iran, and it'll also bring billions of dollars into Russia. Robert Spencer makes the point that indeed this is one way that the Biden administration is saying one thing and doing something else, allowing these kind of situations to bypass the intent of these sanctions?
Yeah, I think we call those workarounds in today's language. That seems to be what's happening. Tom, we're talking about billions of United States dollars. Now, remember, under Trump, there was the removal of the agreement that had been established with Obama and the cutting off of United States money that had been promised, billions of dollars, and cutting it off. Well, as soon as Biden came into office, he reinstituted these negotiations to open the cash flow into Iran with its nebulous promises of controlling its nuclear endeavors and its nuclear industry. But at the same time, they carved out this agreement not only to allow this nuclear facility to be refurbished and expanded, but also Russia's engagement in doing that. That meant a workaround around the sanctions so that Russia will now get the money for the nuclear facility, which Iran will send on into the Russian economy. This reestablishment of money from America is reaching into the International Reserve Fund to the tune of $55 billion in one report, $90 billion in another report. So here is a Russian surrogate nation, Iran, with its relationship that profits Russia and now enhancing its nuclear capability with American finances that are being put toward projects which are going to then send billions of dollars into the Russian economy. While on the other hand, we're doing the sanctions. On the other hand, there's this workaround in which not only is the economy of Russia expanding, but is actually being funded by American taxpayer money.
And Harry Ivan even broached the subject of the fact that we have Americans being held hostage in Iran, which the Biden administration plans to pay $7 billion for their freedom, which is only going to increase hostage taking by this Iranian government.
Exactly. Now that Iran received $7 billion for four, contrast that again. This is not extolling the Trump administration. This is just extolling the fact that you don't have to do this to get hostages freed. Trump was able to produce freedom for hostages without paying ransom. Now Biden is coming in and immediately moving to the tactic of paying the ransom, which will, as you indicated, actually create an industry of hostage taking. Whenever Iran wants another $5, $10, $15 billion, they now know one of the industries that can get American money is not only the funding of their nuclear capabilities, and by the way, with no on-site visitation. Now they say we've got another method we can put into place, and that is hostage taking. That can guarantee $5, $10, $15 billion. So, Tom, let me just confess, I know leading is tough. I know governing is tough. But the one thing that you've got to have is consistency of conduct. You can't do one thing that works against another thing. You've got to determine what are your non-negotiable, unalterable values. Establish them and do not undermine them by violating the principle in other scenarios. This is why we talk about a Christian world and life view, which is framed by the Word of God as truth. And you don't negotiate the truth. You embrace the truth, obey the truth, and implement the truth in life. And you do so also when you govern a nation in public policy. Let's again renew our commitment to speak public theology to public policy and pray for as well as call for consistency of the values that we have ensconced of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and governmental commitment to that. And that's what we commit to assist in other governments, not negotiate evil by insincerity and fraud.
Dr. Harry Reeder's book, 3D Leadership, is devoted to equipping the church and believers to multiply and mobilize leaders in all walks of life. This expanded, revised, and reformatted publication of the leadership dynamic includes discussion questions at the end of each chapter, a great resource for your personal development, group Bible study, or church officer and leadership training. 3D Leadership, defining, deploying, and developing Christian leaders who can change the world. To order your copy, go to Briarwood.org/3D. Thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father on Sunday, then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application as we put the issues of today in perspective.